Today, we continue our series on life goals. Do you realize why this topic is so important? The reality is this. Everywhere I go, people often ask me the most often asked questions that I get when there is a leadership gathering abroad or in the Philippines is this. How do I balance my life? Can I balance career with family? How do I balance ministry with family? The reason they ask that question is because they've seen many leaders somehow succeed in one part of their lives and then they fail in another. I know you know many businessmen. They are successful. They have money. But their family is a mess. When Dr. Billy Graham passed away, but before he passed away, they showed about his interview. What did he regret the most? And according to Billy Graham, if he can do it all over again, he would like to spend more time with his children. And the reason is this. He looked back at his life, and he noticed many of their children went through a lot of ups and downs. Three of his children had divorced. Then they remarried. One was remarried and divorced three times. One of the sons became a rebel. But by the grace of God, all of his family today are walking with the Lord. All of his children today are serving the Lord. It's because of God's faithfulness. However, there are certain pains that you don't have to go through. Many times we have unnecessary pain simply because we don't follow God's design. What's our topic today? Have you been following our life goal series? Today we are going to talk about balance. And the best example is Jesus. Everybody, let's read this together. Jesus, everybody, kept increasing, growing in wisdom, stature, favor with God and men. Notice, Jesus kept increasing. This word has different translations. Growing, making progress. But what I like is the tense. It talks about you keep improving, you keep growing. The Christian life is like riding bicycle. I want to share with you one secret about bicycle. One of my grandsons is only 3 years old, and he rides bicycle. You will notice about our family. They're athletic. We focus on sports. So at a young age, they can ride bicycle. But I noticed something. The moment the bicycle is stopped, what will happen? You fall. I've given this analogy countless times. The Christian life is like riding a bicycle. The day you stop moving forward, you are going to fall. Let me repeat. You cannot afford to think that you have arrived spiritually and stopped growing. And many Christians have stopped growing. You stop growing in your knowledge. Physically, you are no longer disciplined. Favor with God, spiritually. Favor with men, socially. The day you stop growing is the day you begin to fall. Like bicycle, no exception. So for my own spiritual good and health, I want to keep growing in every aspect of my life. So you will notice, I like to attend seminars. I read books. I attend leadership gathering. Why? I want to keep on growing. I ask our pastors. I ask our family members. How can I improve? Do you know I do that on a regular basis? You should try doing that. You talk to your spouse, you talk to your wife, you talk to your husband. How can I improve? If you keep doing that, you keep growing. So today, I want to share with you the importance of growing by living a balanced life. What is a balanced life? Well, according to the example of Jesus, everybody, let's read again. Jesus kept increasing. He grew in wisdom, knowledge, wisdom, and stature, physically, and favor with God, vertically, and favor with men, emotionally, socially. I'm going to expand these verses later on. Right now, if you don't mind, what's our topic today, everybody? Succeed in balancing your life. Keep growing. Now, to understand why you need to balance is the reality of tension. Whether you like it or not, you will have stress. You will have tension. Do I give more time in business? Do I give more time in ministry? Do I give more time to my children? There is always tension. Ladies and gentlemen, the good news is this. Tension is unavoidable. Tension is good. But if you don't balance it, tension becomes bad. Let me give you an example. Guitar. You may not believe this. I play guitar. Violin. You also won't believe this. I tried violin. Notice I use the word tried. Okay. There is something about tension. The string has to be tense in the right way to produce sound. No tension, no music. However, if you put too much tension, the string will break. The same thing with your life. Tension is not bad. Do not think you can arrive at a point in your life where you don't have any more tension. A little tension is healthy. It's like muscle. Okay? I try to exercise every day. I have some weights. But if you lift too much weight, too much, it can hurt your muscle. So, proper balance. Succeed in balancing your life. Keep growing. So I want to share with you principles on how to balance your life. What is the definition of true success? All right, here's the definition. True success. Everybody, becoming all that God wants you to be and doing all that He wants you to do and hearing Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Take note, it begins with who we are. Becoming all that God wants you to be. You see, being is more important than doing. So if you want to understand true success, you be the kind of person God wants you to be. We don't focus on doing. In my leadership development of our leaders, including myself, our primary focus is your character, becoming all that God wants you to be. It involves your mind, it involves your body, it involves your spirit, it involves your relationship. Becoming all that God wants you to be. So being is more important than doing, because doing is a byproduct of being. I do something because of who I am. I serve God because I love the Lord and He loves me. So being first before doing. Notice the next phrase. Becoming all that God wants you to be is what we're going to learn today so that you will learn to be doing all that God wants you to do. Now remember, I have different roles. I am a husband. I am a father. I am a leader. I am a pastor. I have different roles. I'm supposed to do those. But those should come after I keep on developing who I am. Everybody, what is true success? Becoming all that God wants you to be. You keep growing. Doing all that He wants you to do. So the conclusion, you won't have time to do everything. Let me repeat. In life, you will not have time to do everything. However, you will have enough time to do everything that God wants you to do. I won't have time to do everything I want to do. But I will have time to do what God wants me to do. So it needs wisdom. The moment I understand these principles and I keep following the Lord, you know what's going to happen someday? The eternal perspective of true success is this. You hear Him say, everybody, please read. Well done, good and faithful servant. It does not matter to me what the newspaper will say about us, about me. That to me is not important. What the press, what people will say, that is not crucial to me. What is most important is someday when I see the Lord, I want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. What about you? Do you believe one day you will see the Lord face to face? Yes or no? I'm talking to all of you now. I want you to think this through. When you see Jesus face to face, what will He tell you? Think about it. Then you will understand true success. One more time. What's our message today? Succeed in balancing your life. Keep growing. All right, let's begin. According to the model of Jesus, the best perfect man who ever lived was Jesus. Jesus kept increasing in wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is from the Greek word sophia. Wisdom is not knowledge per se. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Wisdom in the Hebrew idea is skills, so that you can apply what you know to life situations. So wisdom is different from knowledge. Wisdom is the application of what you know. For example, God wants you to have wisdom whether you like it or not. I'm going to tell you today, the good news is God wants you to have wisdom. You can pray for it. Let's read this together. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Notice, if any one of us lacks wisdom, Sophia, let him ask of God. Many years ago, I told the Lord, I'm not the smartest. You see, my younger brother has a very high IQ. When I was in class, there are a lot of people smarter than me. But I said, Lord, I need wisdom. You ask God for wisdom. Let him ask of God, look at the promise, who gives to, louder, everybody read, who gives to, louder, all. Are you included? He gives to all. On what condition? He gives to all generously and without reproach. What is the condition? Let him ask of God. You ask him, would you like to ask Jesus today to give you wisdom? Yes or no? So make sure today, as you and I are talking about this topic, you whisper a prayer to the Lord. Lord, I need wisdom. Based on this verse, what is the context of wisdom? James chapter 1, verse 5. So what is James chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4? So you will know the context. The context has to do with pain and suffering. In the midst of pain and suffering, and you don't know what to do, that's the context of this verse. That's why I like you to bring your Bible. You know why? So you can underline it. Now, look at the context of this verse. Everybody read. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect, lacking in nothing. That's the context. Because the truth is this, some of you are hurting. Some of you are suffering, and you don't know why. And yet the Bible tells you, consider it joyful. But you are having a problem. Like what happened to us. From time to time, we have problems. Many years ago, you know what happened to me? We lost our business. I got kicked out of our own company during the martial law. And I could not understand why God is allowing those things to happen. The Bible says you ask God for wisdom so that you know how to respond properly. Now, some of you are having problems, financial, maybe your marriage, your family. Some of you are in pain. What do? The Bible says, let him ask God for wisdom. So you need to learn. That's the context. And the Bible tells us, therefore, be careful how you walk, how you behave, not as unwise men, but wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To be wise, you must know the will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says don't be foolish. Life is short. Know the will of God. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you know the will of God? How do you know? Let me give you a hint. How do you know? I'm giving you a hint. How do you know the will of God? Answer? You read the Word of God. How do you expect to know the will of God if you don't read the will of God? Let's look at this verse. Everybody, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Let me explain to you this verse. The word blessed is from the word happy. How happy is the man who does not listen to the advice of the ungodly? How happy is the man who does not listen to the opinions, to the advice of those who don't know the Lord? See, the truth is, you are listening either to your friends, to media, to yourself. The Bible says, happy is the man who does not listen to the counsel of the ungodly. What do you do? The Bible tells us his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. His focus is on the Word of God. And because his focus is on the Word of God, God gives you a promise. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. Everybody read. In whatever he does, he prospers. Do you know there's nobody that can guarantee you success in business except the Word of God? Think about it. I just came from Kota Kinabalu. I met a businessman who came to know the Lord when he was already around 60. His memory was not so good anymore. But his discipler told him, you need to memorize scriptures. And he began memorizing scriptures. He memorized over 300 verses. He's now around 70. In that process of time, God gave him super ideas of business. He built an amazing township, a resort. He reclaimed properties. Cost of $1, he sold it for $200. And he said, Peter, I asked him, how did you have this idea? He said, everything is from God. My friend, do you listen to the Word of God? Wisdom is knowing what God wants. This guy will not compromise. He will not be corrupted. He had a project. He was waiting for permit. He waited for 10 years. He refused to give in. To listen, to have wisdom, is to know how to make choices. Many years ago, one of my sons was invited to become like a barcada of the rebellious young people on the edge. They're borderline kids, okay? They're a bit naughty, and they're very attractive, you know, because they're naughty, they're rowdy. But my son was, praise God, he had wisdom. He made a decision. He made a choice. He said, Daddy, I choose a group of friends who are disciplined, who are good in school, and they're athletes. Because in that school, to be an athlete, you need a certain grade point average. I chose to be with that group. And by the grace of God, he was able to become a varsity player. By the way, all my children, by the grace of God, got involved in sports. And they're varsity players. They made a choice. My daughter, I praise God, my daughter understood the meaning of wisdom. Because she knew the choice of a husband is so crucial. And my family, my children, have an arrangement with us. They will never give their heart to anybody. They will never give their heart to a suitor until they have our blessing. My daughter made a choice. After consulting with us, she gave up the boy who was courting her. The boy was a Princeton graduate, Ivy League school. But she said, based on what the Bible is saying, I will choose God and not this boy. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are in love, in your mind, by doing this, I will be happy. People don't get married to be miserable. Everybody gets married to be happy. Except, if you don't follow the Word of God, the ways of God, you will be thinking you'll be happy. At the end, you will not be happy. Many people don't understand the heart of God. Many children are not taught properly because the parents don't understand the Word of God. The Word of God, the heart of God, is to bless you. He wants to protect us. But you got to find happiness His ways, not our ways. So you need wisdom. Comprende? Friends, I don't know about you, but many years ago, this confession time, I was in my master's program, and there was this girl that, you know, kind of was attractive. And after I graduated, she came to see me in the office. By this time, she was married. And she said, "Peter, I'm now married, and I'm lonely." Oh, lonely. Now, when the girl comes to you, and the girl says, "I'm lonely," gentlemen, what will you do? My husband is in the Middle East. I'm all alone. I praise God. He allowed me to remember verses. The Bible says, flee temptation, flee. So you know what I did? I had to be polite. After talking, I said, "I'll pray for you." She left. I made sure I don't call her, I don't follow up, nothing. You know why? I know my weakness. Many men are not thinking. You don't make good decisions. You need to be wise. Because simple decisions like that has eternal repercussions. So please be wise. The Bible tells us Jesus not only grew in wisdom, Jesus also grew in stature. Now, what is stature? My friend, your body is so crucial in God's program. Do you understand? Many Christians don't take care of their bodies. They think everything that's spiritual is what is important, but the body is not important. Nothing is farther from the truth. What do I mean? I want to show you some verses which really impacted my life. Everybody please read. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Everybody. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God?" The Bible says you are the temple of God. You know what that means? "And that the Spirit of God dwells in you." This blew me. I was telling my wife last night, I said, "Honey, do you know that our body is the dwelling place of God?" Think about it. This very moment, those of you who know Jesus, those of you who have invited Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you are a true Christian, who is dwelling inside your body? Answer. God Himself, the Spirit of God. You know, that is so crucial to me because it tells me something. I need to take care of my body. Because the Bible says, God gave us a body. We are not owners. We are managers. Look at the next verse. Verse 17. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. The Bible says you cannot destroy your own body. That's why suicide to me is really from the devil. I've been in this ministry for many years. In all my counseling, I want to warn you. Anytime you think of killing yourself, destroying your own temple, I'm telling you, that is never from God. It is from the devil. And how do we destroy our temple today? The Bible says God is holy. You got to take care of it. Can I give you the context of how we destroy our temple? What is very obvious in 1 Corinthians is the problem of the church at Corinth. In Corinth, it is very, very sensual. In the temple at Corinth, you have thousands of prostitutes. So it is a very immoral city. And these people came to Christ. And the Paul is saying, hey guys, your body is the temple of God. Therefore, he tells you, flee immorality. The immoral man sins against his own body. This is a special sin, immorality. Or do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? You are not your own. You know what this verse is telling me? Sexual immorality is a special category of sin. Because literally, you are dragging God, according to the context, if you read this, if you are having sex with a prostitute, Paul is saying, you are forcing your body to be one with the prostitute and you are sinning against your body and God because this is a special sin. You are dragging God into what you are doing. Friends, I believe a lot of young people today don't understand how precious the body is. And God is saying, please, do not corrupt your body because your body belongs to the Lord. God is saying, I dwell in your body. So why do you want to have sex outside of marriage? Why do you want to defile your body? A lot of young people today, I will not be surprised, over 50% of young people today have already engaged in premarital sex. And the reason is they do not know what the Bible is talking about. The body is the temple of God. I was telling my wife, this verse impacted me tremendously. Because wherever I go, whatever I do, God is with us. God is with you. So once you understand this, your perspective about your body will change. Look at what the Bible says. For you have been bought with a price. Glorify God in your body, not in your spirit, in your body, in your flesh. You can glorify God. You know what this verse is saying? Friends, you take care of your body. Do it for the right purpose. What do I mean? Look at the heart of God. He gave us a command to observe the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. Ladies and gentlemen, why should God bother about commanding us to rest? Because the body is important. Have you thought about it? God is commanding you. You take care of your body. 6 days you are to work. The seventh day, you are to rest. In our family, our helpers, our drivers, everybody. You work how many days? 6. 7 days, what must you do? Rest. Of course, today, people have changed the commandment. We only work 5 days. The Bible says work 6 days. 7 days, you are to rest. Now, don't be deceived when people say Sabbath day is always a Saturday. Don't ever be deceived. Look at what the Bible says. When is the Sabbath day? Please read. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath. Any seventh day is the Sabbath. In the days of Jesus, the Jews, it is Saturday. In the Philippines today, it is what? Sunday. For the pastors, our Sabbath day is Monday. If you are in the Middle East, most of our Sabbath will be on a Friday. So don't be legalistic. Which day? It is every seventh day you must rest. Because God wants you to take care of your body. Now, can I ask you now an honest self-exam question? Are you taking care of your body? Let's start with the most simple thing. How many of you exercise every day? Raise your hands. Higher. All right, you exercise 3-4 times a week. Raise your hands. Excuse me. The others. You see, you are not taking care of your body. You want to die early. That's why you don't want to exercise. That's wrong. How many of you watch your diet? Raise your hands. My goodness. Pastors, just look at all of these people. They all want to die early. We watch our diet. I'm warning you. Sugar is bad. I don't drink soft drinks. Because it affects you. Sugar is the food of cancer cells. So you got to watch your diet. I eat vegetables. I eat fruit. I avoid as much as possible unhealthy foods. So far, how are you doing? Are you taking care of your body? Okay, you just showed me you don't take care of your diet, you don't exercise. All right, sleep. How many of you have proper sleep? At least 7 to 8 hours a day. Raise your hand. Praise God. Now, those of you not raising your hand, can I tell you something? Sleep is so crucial that they've discovered people who have cancer. Can I tell you why? Your immune system has come down. And your immune system will only be strengthened when you have proper sleep. Your cells are regenerated when you have sleep. When you don't have sleep, you got a problem. And let me tell you why people don't think about these things. You have never been taught that you got to balance your life. Mentally, everybody? Physically. My wife is very good at this. She has schedules for my children when they were growing up. She will make them run. She will make them exercise. All my children, all 5 of them. Can I tell you? You got to take care of your body. But I want to share with you something. The most dangerous problem that we have today, which we are not acknowledging. It's called computer internet addiction. Are you aware of the danger of cell phones, social media, Facebook, pornography? Many people don't realize the danger. There is enough evidence based on scientific research that this cell phone is deceiving people into thinking multitasking is okay. Multitasking is bad. It reduces your productivity by 40%. In fact, cell phone technology, social media, is now an epidemic. It's called addiction. nothing wrong with technology, but the addiction is so serious. Let me give you an example. One of my grandsons is 3 years old. The mother loaned her cell phone. So he began playing. Now, let me tell you why we do this. The cheapest and easiest kind of yaya, okay? If you want to take care of kids and make them keep quiet, just give them a gadget. And they suddenly become quiet. It is so easy, it is so convenient. And you know what happened? They fail to realize that this gadget is affecting the first 5 years of their lives. When the brain is developing, it's going to affect their brain development. So this three-year-old, and I'm going to warn you, only a short time, when the mother said, give me back my cell phone, he refused. He was angry. Do you know why? The symptom of addiction is when you take something away, they become irritable, they become angry. That's how you know you're addicted. You want more and more. When you wake up in the morning, that young boy, the first thing he did when he woke up, can I borrow your cell phone? You know why you're laughing? Because it's about you. Am I correct? And I discovered a new word. The new word I've discovered is anhedonia. Anhedonia is a medical term referring to the reduced ability to experience pleasure. From two Greek words, an, without, hedonia, being hedonist, pleasure. Anhedonia, inability to experience the simple pleasures of life. You know why? Because of dopamine. Are you familiar with dopamine? Dopamine? What do you mean by dopamine? Well, let me tell you. Dopamine, just look at me now. When you play with your cell phones, computer games, it brings you certain pleasure, addiction to pornography, to computer games. It does something to the chemical in your brain. It's called dopamine. Dopamine is a neuromicroscopic transmitter of pleasure. It goes to the pleasure brain, so dopamine. The problem is this. The more you play with computer games, the more dopamine you have. And the more dopamine you have, the brain will have to protect itself. By protecting itself, it builds resistance. Because the brain can only take so much dopamine. The problem is now compounded because the next time you want pleasure, you need to have more and more and more. It's like pornography. First, simple male and female, people get excited. But pretty soon, that does not excite you anymore. You want something more radical. Pretty soon, you want child pornography. Pretty soon, perhaps you want orgy. Whatever it is, the dopamine is affecting your brain. And because it's affecting your brain, people today are easily bored. It's an amazing sickness. I don't find pleasure anymore. My goodness. Parents, I'm warning you. Are you aware of what's happening to our children? So I was requested by our Sunday school teachers, Next Gen. Many of you allow your children to have cell phones and they go to Next Gen and then they're playing computer games. Please, those of you who have children in Next Gen, don't give them cell phone. You know why? They will not die. Many people cannot imagine without cell phone for 1-2 hours. They really cannot imagine this. We are addicted. So can I suggest something? I'm discussing this with our pastors. In our meeting, no more cell phones. I don't want distraction. In our office, no cell phones. You want to watch cell phone? Every 2 hours. Can I tell you something? Bedtime. May I suggest, parents, don't allow your children to sleep with cell phones. Take it away from them. Many parents today are afraid of children. In the past, children are afraid of parents. Today is the opposite. You are scared of your children. You don't even have the courage to say, no more cell phone. You know why? You are scared. But you don't know what's happening to our children. The famous founder of Apple. What's his name? Steve Jobs. Do you know? He won't even allow his children to have tablets, to have gadgets. He won't allow his children. He knows the power of addiction. Most of us don't even know this. And some of you are addicted already. You won't admit. Symptoms of addiction. You get angry without it. You get irritated without it. Think about it. You need to do something if you want to be serious with the Lord. First thing in the morning, do not touch your cell phone. Spend time with the Lord. I suggest the following. To manage technology, do not let technology manage you. Cell phone is not bad. Technology is not bad. But you manage it. How? Most important word, schedule. Set time. Say that with me. Schedule. Set time. You know why? If you don't do that, I give you another discovery. A new word I've discovered. It's called NSD. What is NSD? Non-sadness depression. Non-sadness depression is an epidemic problem today. People are depressed. And they don't know why. Let me tell you why. Dopamine. In your brain. Your brain has been wired in such a way, it's no longer normal. You need detoxification. That's why a lot of people are bored, depressed. So these are my suggestions. Limit. Say the word with me. Limit. Limit the time. Use technology for your own benefit. If you can create software, you can create something productive, that's good, but limit the time. Schedule, magic word. In your family, when you're eating, do not allow cell phone on the table. In fact, when they get into your house, I will deposit the cell phones. Think of ways. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just giving you advice. Okay? Another important guidelines. Face-to-face. Spend time with your children. Play games face-to-face. Not with computer. Think about it. Another suggestion, model. Parents, model actual reading of the Bible, using the Bible. Show your children what you're doing. Model playing games with your children. Model spending time with people, not always through the internet. This is what's destroying a lot of people today. My prayer is this. You will learn to manage technology. Not allow technology to manage you. It's dangerous. Over 50% of pornography today comes through the cell phone. Pornography today is a real problem. It does something to your brain. Paul said, I discipline my body. I discipline. Beautiful Greek word. Discipline means what? I hit my body black and blue. I train my body black and blue. In other words, he's saying, I buffet my body. The literal word is I buffet. I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. That is how serious balancing your life is. You balance the use of technology. Paul is saying, I buffet, I discipline my body, black and blue. I buffet my body. Jesus kept increasing in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and men. The word favor comes from the same word as grace, charis. The Bible says Jesus grew in favor, in grace, with God and men. You know why they are placed side by side? The Holy Spirit knew. You got to have grace favor with God first before you learn how to interact with people. Now, do you realize favor with God, the grace with God, can be increased? You should grow. For example, let's read this together. Grow, everybody read. Grow in the grace. Grow in the favor. Grace, knowledge of God. You can grow. You know why this is so crucial for you, friends? Many Christians don't understand the Bible and theology. They think salvation is by grace. I'm saved, and that's all. I don't have to do anything anymore. Listen to me. Salvation is free by grace. Amen? You cannot earn it. Favor with God can increase. Grace can be multiplied. Not for salvation, for sanctification. What do I mean? Let me share with you. You are commanded to grow in the grace and knowledge. It is something progressive. The Apostle Paul tells us, look at his life. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be, everybody read, to be pleasing. Huh, to be pleasing to God. What does that mean? Let me explain to you. I have 5 wonderful children. I tell my children, no matter what, I love you. They cannot earn my love. If they have higher grades, I love them. If they flunk, I love them. Unconditional. However, if they follow me, obey me, I smile. I smile. If they don't obey me, do I love them? I still love them. Do I smile? It's hard. If you disobey me and I will smile, I don't do that. If they don't obey me, I don't smile. They want to see my smile, what must they do? Obey. I told my wife, honey, I love you. There's nothing you can do to make me not love you. So my wife is very secure. If my wife does not obey me, do I smile? No. The Bible tells us you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can make God sad. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. However, if my wife will follow my instructions, what do? Tell me, I smile. And that's my prayer. I want to make God smile. I want to see the smile of God, not to earn salvation. I'm forgiven. I'm saved. But I want to see God what? Smile. What does that mean? Let me explain to you. Jesus gave us an amazing insight on how to live the Christian life. Everybody, let's read this together. Jesus answered and said to him, together, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Let me repeat. According to Jesus, if you love him, what will you do? If anyone loves me, what must you do? He will keep my word. So obedience is because you love him. Obedience is not legalism. It's born out of love. Read the next verse. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. What in the world are they talking about? I thought God is already with us. Ah, my friend, you now see the difference between theological presence of God and experiential intimacy with God. The Bible is talking about personal, intimacy, experiential presence of God. You see, God is with us. Some of you don't feel the presence of God, even though God is with you. God is saying, you love me, you obey me, and I will let you experience my presence. It's an amazing experience that God wants you to have, because God is saying, my Father will love him. I thought God loves me already. God loves us, yes or no? How come? It seems conditional. Ah, the manifest presence of God's love is another story. You see, the Bible is very clear. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me." Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you love Jesus? Raise your hand. No, really. Bring it down. You love Jesus? If you love Jesus, what must you do? According to Jesus. If you love Jesus, what will you do? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Friends, do not tell me you love Jesus and you don't keep his word. God is looking at your heart and he knows. And that's why the Christian life, the most foundational, is do you love Jesus? If you love Jesus, you will obey him. And then he gives you a promise. What is the promise? He will keep my word and my Father, look at the promise, my Father will love him. Oh, I thought God so loved the world. Manifest love. Experiential. And we will come to him. Notice, we will come to him and make our abode with him. Manifest presence of God. Let me explain to you. One of my great goal in life is to hear Jesus say, is to hear God say the way he said it to Jesus. You know what God told Jesus? You are my beloved son. In you, I'm well pleased. In the book of Luke, the Bible tells us, when Jesus was baptized, a voice came out of heaven. And the voice said, "You are my beloved son. In you, I am very happy." You know, that's my prayer. That someday, when I see Jesus, you know what else he will say? "You are my beloved son. I am well pleased." And my friend, that kind of joy, that kind of intimacy, I don't want to lose. And that's the reason I do my best to live a life that's pleasing to God. Because if I don't follow God, I lost the joy of his presence. When I say I lost the joy, I know something is not right. And because I don't want that to be part of my life, I long for his intimate presence. Because he gave me a promise. In your presence is fullness of joy. Why do I want to live my life apart from the joy of the Lord in my heart? So that is what motivates me. The joy of the Lord, his presence in my heart. And I pray you do the same. You love the Lord? Yes? Then obey him. Is there anything in your life today? Anything that you are doing, business practices, relationships, that is not pleasing to God? If there's anything you are doing that is not pleasing to God, I suggest you tell him today, "Lord, I change. I'm going to do it because I love you." You see, the ways of the world tells you otherwise. Literally, I heard somebody counseling another girl. Because the husband was unfaithful, the counsel is something like this: "Your husband is unfaithful, you also be unfaithful. Give him a taste of his medicine. Leave him." Now, what kind of counseling is that? Coming from Christians? No. You follow the Lord. I met this lady just recently. She told us, "My friend left me because I did not leave my husband. Because I forgave my husband and I wanted to save the marriage." Can I tell you? This girl understood the pleasure of God. She's happy. And I met her husband recently. Her husband is now even conducting Bible study, teaching Bible at home, because God knows what it's all about. You put him first. Grow in that area. Favor with God. Do everything to please Him. And then your horizontal relationship will be as it should be. But let me tell you, I'm not saying there's no problem. Look at what the Bible says. Jesus kept growing in stature, in favor with God and man. You know this God first and then man? Let me share with you this amazing reality. You all know IQ, intelligence. You all know EQ, yes or no? What is EQ? Intelligence, emotional quotient. Based on research, listen to me, based on research, the key to success is not IQ, EQ. They made a study. The most common predictor of success in the corporate world, in the business world, 90% of the time, it's people with high EQ, not IQ. EQ is more important. But EQ is affected by SQ. Now, what is SQ? Don't tell me Singapore Airlines, okay? SQ is spiritual quotient. What is spiritual quotient? Spiritual quotient is seeing things from God's perspective. You don't see things as they are. You look at situation based on the prism of the Bible, based on God's perspective. The Bible tells us, as you walk with the Lord, you learn to see things differently. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. And that's why I study the Bible. I meditate on the Bible because God promised me, in His light, I will see light. Not the opinions of men. I don't get my ideas. I don't counsel people based on what's popular, based on what people are saying. It is based on the Word of God. So people can accuse us of being so narrow. But can I tell you something? I know it works. Because God is all wise. He wants what's best. Amen? Do you want to experience the fullness of life? Yes or no? Well, learn from God. Now, what is EQ? EQ is the ability to control our response towards unfavorable circumstance. That's EQ. You need to teach your children EQ. What is EQ? Temper. Dadabog-dabog. Low EQ. Daybog-daybog in English. Throwing a tantrum. Shouting. Uncontrollable emotions. Do you know EQ impacts even the salary scale of people? Based on research in the States, high EQ usually get $29,000 more per year compared to low EQ. Even among pastors, effective pastors have high EQ. They understand there will be stress. They don't react. Now, let me share with you an incident that happened in the States. There was a car accident. The man got so angry. They ended up fighting with each other. They began to use fist fights. They used everything. The police had to come. And eventually, they were brought to the station and one of them died. Do you know how much it cost to fix the accident? $100. For $100, you end up fighting. Low EQ. Not IQ, EQ. Therefore, you must understand in life, it's only 10% of what happens to you. It's all about 90% how you react. You got to teach your children how to develop EQ. And EQ can only happen, listen to me now, through training and through the Word of God. What do I mean by the Word of God and training? You see, this is our brain. Our brain has a limbic system. This is where the emotions comes in, right at the bottom, here at the back. And you have the rational brain. This is where the frontal cortex is developed. the logic. The problem is this. Limbic is all about emotions. But your emotions cannot control your life. You got to make sure this rational side will communicate with the limbic so you can control it. And I have discovered, medically speaking, our brain, every cell, can develop new connections. 15,000 microscopic neurons with the neighboring cells. So the more you let this guy control this, the more the pathway, the brain connection will grow and it becomes stronger. And the emotional side of your life can grow. Let me explain to you. One day, confession time with our family, one of my sons, when he was growing up, did not like people. When he was asked, "What is your name?" "I have no name." "Where do you live?" "Nowhere." "Let's go home, let's go home." I mean, that is his personality. Praise God. My mother, not my mother, my wife, took the challenge of training my son. When people ask you, "What's your name?" you must answer, "My name is..." "Where do you live?" In other words, today, if you look at my sons, they are very nice people. Amen? Emotionally, they are very mature. They don't throw tantrums. They don't react. Why? EQ is a byproduct of SQ, overriding the cortex and the limbic system. I have a daughter. She asked my wife, "I don't know how to make friends." You have that problem? You know, my wife taught my daughter, to make friends, you be friendly. Remember, my children were homeschooled. So when they went to the school, they wanted to learn how to make friends. Actually, they learned most in making friends in homeschool. Do you know what happened to that daughter of mine? She won the Miss Congeniality Award. She became so friendly. Everybody liked her. You can develop EQ. You know, the meaning of this amazing truth, everybody read this, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the Spirit-filled temperament. You let the Holy Spirit control you. How many of you are singles? Raise your hand. Singles. Higher, 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 higher. Singles, look at me now. You like to marry? What kind of man do you like to marry? You like to marry somebody, gentlemen, ladies, you like to marry somebody who is full of what? Love, joy, peace, patience. Wow. Where do you look for this kind of people? CCF. Spirit-filled temperament. Now, question. Are you full of joy? Are you full of smile? Christians, you should be the happiest people. Can I encourage you something? When you leave this room today, I want to see you smile. When you enter here, you smile. Every Sunday, I'm going to check on you. Okay? Smile. Say that with me. Smile. You know why? I heard the story of Charles Spurgeon. You know, Mr. Spurgeon is an amazing speaker. He talked about what happened to somebody in his church. He was telling Dwight L. Moody, "You see these people, example, you see these people in the front row? They all became followers of Jesus because of a smile." So they asked him, "What do you mean smile?" This is what Spurgeon said. "Every time I finish preaching, I go home, I bring my Bible. On my way home, I see children playing and I smile." They smile. "Next Sunday, when I go back to church, I see these children playing. And what do? I smile." And they smile. I bow my head, I smile. "Well, one Sunday, I saw the mother with them. And I don't know whether I should bow and smile or not. But I did, because the children were expecting me to smile. Guess what happened? The children decided to follow him one Sunday. the children discovered he was not just a Christian, he was a preacher. And would you believe it, next Sunday, the children brought the entire family, brought their father, their mother, to hear Mr. Spurgeon, the smiling preacher. And all of them came to Jesus. The power of a smile. My friend, please, smile. Control your emotion. We are in the house of God. Amen? Presence. All right. What? Why are you not smiling? Do you know it is a sin not to smile? That's the Bible, yeah. Very simple. The Bible says, in everything, give what? Thanks. In everything. Now, try giving thanks without smiling. Sige nga? In everything, give thanks. My friend, let me close with a true story of a carpenter who worked so hard for 50 years. He was an excellent carpenter, and this story was written by Michael Joseph's son, which I read also in the article of Francis Kong a few days ago. This carpenter worked so hard for 50 years, and he told his boss, "I want to retire." The boss said, "I really appreciate you. You have worked so hard. Thank you." And then he gave him a bonus, $5,000. My goodness, the guy felt so bad. After 50 years, I got $5,000. Now the boss said, "However, I want you to build for me one last house. This is in this beautiful lot. It's my dream lot, my dream house, and you will make enough money for your retirement. But please, build it for me." Well, this carpenter decided, okay, because he needed some money to buy his own cottage. He wanted a small house. So he began to work. But because he did not control his emotion, he was bitter. So he did not do his best. Because he did not control his emotion, he cut corners. Materials that are inferior, he allowed it to be made. You know why? He was not happy. He was not happy with the boss. At the end of the construction period, he told the boss, "It's finished." So the boss went there. The boss said, "Thank you. Congratulations." So the boss gave him an envelope. He was not happy. He didn't look at the envelope. When he got home, he opened the envelope. You know what's inside the envelope? It's the title to the house. He was shocked. He was so embarrassed. He said, "I misjudged my boss. And for the rest of my life, I'll be living in a house that could have been better." You know what hits me? Christian life is like building a house. Every decision you make today, it's like you're putting it into constructing your house. And if you allow emotions to control you, you're going to take shortcuts. What kind of life are you building? Let's bow our heads and pray. I know God has spoken to many of you. You need to grow, especially in the area of your spiritual life, your emotional life. If God has spoken to you and you want to surrender your emotions to the Lord, because only the Holy Spirit can control your emotions, I want you to surrender your life today to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus. You say, "Lord Jesus, you take over my life completely. You take over my emotional life. Every area of your life, you surrender that to Jesus." Because some of you probably may not even have Jesus in your life. You don't have the presence of God, but today you want to be sure. If you want to be sure of God in your life today, letting Him control your life, your emotions, would you raise your hands higher? Praise God. Well, stand up. Those of you who raise your hands, I will pray for you. If that's what you want, you surrender your life to the Lord. Let Him take over every area of your life. You finally understood a true Christian is one that have God, His Spirit inside you. You have never surrendered your life to the Holy Spirit. And you think you are a Christian. But there is no evidence. Today you say, I understood. Anybody else? Praise God, many of you. It's between you and the Lord. I want you to really surrender your life to Jesus. Praise God. Do not fight. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is asking you to surrender your body, to surrender your mind, to surrender your emotions, then stand up. Surrender. That's the secret of the Christian life. Don't fight Him. The Christian life is not about self-will. It's about surrendering your will to the will of the Holy Spirit. Probably you're afraid. You're afraid, Lord, I can never keep those commitments. No, no, no. It is surrendering your willpower to the Lord. Anybody else? I know God is speaking to many of you. Praise God. You pray this prayer with me. Wherever you are, those of you who are standing up, you pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, here I am. I need you. I surrender my life to you today. Lord Jesus, my body is your temple. Come in to my life. Take control of every area of my life. Thank you for reminding me that I do everything because you love me and I love you. Help me to grow in balancing my life. Lord Jesus, I pray for this group of men and women. I know you have spoken to them, and now make yourself very real in their lives. Let them experience the intimacy, the joy, your presence by loving you, by obeying you. Will you bless everybody here today? In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless.